We are chatting it up with our friend Nancy Turner, who is the founder of This Old Horse, Such a Wonderful Place. And Nancy, how have you been? How was your big fundraiser over the weekend?
It was terrific. We were at the Friends of the American Saddle Horse Show, and we were physically there, but our run was virtual, and we did great. It was a beautiful day, and we had people all over the country that were running and sending us pictures of them wearing their Run for the Roses shirt, and it went great. We're very excited about it. And next year, we intend to be live and do it in person again.
Well, how wonderful. We love that. So, Nancy, I got to tell you, the Kentucky Derby this year was incredible. And, you know, there was a lot of buzz because there were two horses from Minnesota. And so I didn't have a horse in the race, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to cheer for those two horses. And then we heard about some other horses. But what the heck? Can you give a background on this Rich Strike victory?
Well, I think I was as surprised as every single person in the world, including the owners of Rich Strike. So what happened, to get to the Kentucky Derby, they select 20 horses, and you have to qualify for it by being in qualifying races, and they assign points kind of based on how many races you've won and what your competition was. And, you know, and so then the favorites are the ones that have their history, their performance, their resume is what they predict that they're going to win. So the horses that the number one and two horses have the best resumes, if you will, but they only pick 20 horses. So when one of the horses backed out on Friday, the alternate, the 21st horse,
come on,
things got bumped up. But of course, in the odds of that horse, it didn't even get picked in the first round, was so slim that no one even kind of heard of it. So Rich Strike was a long shot even to be in the field, and then to get into it and then to win it was amazing. And I think that, like everybody else, I was watching Epicenter and Zandon, you know, as it's coming down the stretch, thinking the two favorites, one of those two are going to win. And suddenly, out of absolutely nowhere,
right,
that Rich Strike comes up on the rail. And then all of a sudden, it's like, who is that? It's then, you know, it's the long shot. I don't know. I think it was the most thrilling thing imaginable.
You know, it was, because even, you know, how they do the, is it the one furlong or, you know, the quarter furlong or whatever, they say who's,
yeah,
you know, what the pace is or whatever. And,
yeah,
and Rich Strike was nowhere even in the mix. And okay, so
my got mentioned by an announcer until like
the very end, right? All of a sudden it was like, what? So what did you see in that horse? Because I know you're kind of a horse whisperer, but I got to tell you, I got choked up watching the end, because it just really is. When you see something like that, the underdog really coming out and against all odds, literally winning, what was it like for you? And what did you see in that horse? Tenacity or what?
Well, you know what I think is that I don't think the horse themselves don't know who the favorites are. They don't know how long the race is. They're asked to work and they work. And so I don't think, it's not like there's not the same pressure on the horses. They see a bunch of horses running and they run because they're asked to. You know that I love horses so much in their heart. But, you know, the thing about a thoroughbred, and we've worked with a lot of breeds, is their heart, that they do what's asked of them. So what I would guess, you know, just guessing, but that Rich Strike gets out there and this is his job to run the race. And he didn't know he was the underdog. He didn't, you know, they just asked him to run and he ran, and they asked him to run faster and he ran faster, and mm-hmm. the jockey put him, you know, guided him into the, where he had some space to run. And so I think that the horse just, like, at the end of it goes, I did my job.
Wow.
Because they don't have that same sense of pressure. They just go, you know, you want me to go? I go.
Oh, wow.
And, so I don't know, that's what I think. It was, that's what I loved about it, because you could just, the horses battling it out are, because horses are naturally competitive. They run in herds in the wild.
That's true.
You know, when one horse runs, they all run. And I've told you this before, if one horse spooks, they all run. They don't need to know what the problem is. They just follow their friends. just run. Whereas the cow gets spooked and the other cows look at him and go, what's up with you? But one horse running, they all run.
Man. Well, that was really incredible. And do you think this horse now will have a chance to go on and you know, win, what is the next, the Belmont Stakes?
Yeah, I think so. For sure, now that people are watching that horse, it can beat the top-rated horses in the country. Mm. There's no reason for it, if it's sound and healthy, not to go on. And, you know, in those next races, the Kentucky Derby typically has the biggest field because it's the first one. And then, you know, the other horses, the fields get smaller usually as they go along. But it will be interesting to see how the odds makers are going to look at this horse going forward. Like, was it a fluke? Or was it just everybody missed it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
Well, what do you think?
Well, you know what I think is that he did it, right? He beat those horses that he's going to be running against next time. And if he did it once, he sure has the speed. And that jockey had never been in a Kentucky Derby either.
I heard that.
So it's kind of like, well, we know he's got the chops for it, and I guess we'll see next time. But I would guess that Epicenter and Zandon are still going to be very heavily favored in the Triple Crown to go. I mean, I guess, you know, you have to win all three of them to do that. And I don't know if that's that horse, but, you know, that's what's exciting about it.
So anyone could win. Is it true that some of these horses have never run that far before?
That's a good question. That the last race is the farthest one. It's another quarter mile that they add on the Belmont or Preakness. What's the next one? But yeah, I'm not sure about that. But you know, they train. They train for it, but I think that because they're just 3-year-olds, they're juvenile. You know.
Sure.
That they train them pretty carefully so that they don't burn them out.
Nancy, when you have your thoroughbreds that you like to, that you've rescued some, I know, and mm-hmm. tell us about them and how they compare to other horses.
Well, one of the things about thoroughbreds, you know, and you know very well that I have thoroughbreds of my own. I have lots of different ones, but my thoroughbreds have my own little heart because they're such great athletes and they're so what they call scopy. They have such a broad, because of their athleticism and breeding, they're just so powerful. But what the thing about thoroughbreds that's different, you know, when we focus on old horses and we have a retirement program, but most horses retire when they're 15 years old from whatever discipline they're in. And a lot of horses don't even start in their discipline until they're 4 to 6 years old because horses consider mature at 4. So when you look at these thoroughbreds are running as 3-year-olds and going full out, that they retire, the average racehorse retires from racing at age 5. Mm. That's the average. So one of the things that people, they get a reputation for being kind of hot and, you know, they're too hot-blooded and they're too hard to handle. But what you have to understand is when they retire from racing, they're still babies, basically, and they haven't matured yet. And they've only been trained ever to do one thing, which is run fast to the left. So if you give them a chance to just let down and just be a horse, they're no different from any other horse as far as what they can do and be retrained to do. But the difference is they retire so young, they have a really, really long life ahead of them. So we take horses at this old horse, our racehorse retirement program, we've taken horses in as young as 2. You know, so it's not your typical retirement sanctuary, get turned out and, you know, live out the rest of the years, that we have an active program for placing them with people who want to retrain them into another discipline, another sport, because they really have a long life ahead of them if they're sound and healthy, and they usually are. They usually, we get horses off the racetrack because they're slow, not because there's anything wrong with them. Mm. If they're not competitive on the racetrack, then the owners aren't going to pay to keep them there with all the expensive training and everything. If they're slow pokes. So we always joke about getting the slow pokes, and they're just wonderful. People could get into a thoroughbred for, if they want a really nice horse for not very much money, if you want to put the time into retraining them to do almost anything.
Because they're smart, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're bred for it. They're bred to be athletes. You know, that's what they breed them for, to be powerful athletes. You know, and, you know, they'll take anything that if even if they're not very fast runners, they still are amazing athletes with a well-bred and, you know their pedigree. They're, everybody that breeds a thoroughbred wants a Kentucky Derby winner. There's only one.
So that really does matter? Genes really do matter?
Yeah, especially with thoroughbred breeders, that they are nutty about they call this process of nicking, and I don't know why, but what they have whole like websites and algorithms that if you breed this stallion to this mare with these bloodlines, this great grandsire has produced 14 horses out of this many that have won this much money. It's math. but it's all a gamble. You know, my off-track thoroughbred, I call her Jackie O, is lovely. And if you looked at her pedigree, she's had her sire, her father was ran in the Kentucky Derby 1 year, and her mother won a ton of money racing. My horse should be as fast as lightning. And she is not at all. She's beautiful. She's a slowpoke. But I don't want to go fast.
So is that how you got her? Because she was a slowpoke?
Yeah. Yeah, they raced her for a year and she won, you know, like $2,000. And it probably cost, I can't imagine what it cost to keep her in training. But yeah, so that they just like, she's not a strong candidate for our racing program. So they ask us, this old horse, to retire these beautiful slowpokes. And then I just ended up adopting her myself because she just suited me to a T.
So Rich Strike, if you would have bet on Rich Strike, you would have made a ton of money.
Yeah, it paid. It was 80-1 odds to win.
That's incredible.
So on $2, you would have, which is my average bet. but I would have bet on the favorite and lost my $2. If you would bet on the long shot, you would have got like $160.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, and I have a feeling more people bet a little bit more than $2.
Well, I read that the handle, which is the amount of money wagered, is what they call it.
Yes,
was like $280 million or something was the handle. Around $280,000, and that the amount bet on Rich Strike was $500,000. So, you know, of all that, there's a lot of people that did not bet on that horse.
Absolutely. But we don't bet against any horse, do we? Not at this old horse, I know.
Oh, we bet on him, right?
Right.
They're a good bet.
So are you still looking for volunteers, Nancy?
We are, absolutely, and especially now that the pandemic kind of restrictions have been lifted and the summer, and we have so many horses that could just use a hand, or even if people didn't like, you know, didn't feel comfortable with the horses, that we could use people to do yard work. And
when you say yard work, what does that mean?
Yeah, like water the plants at the barn and, you know, pick weeds in the garden.
Oh, okay. I thought it had to do with a shovel. Okay.
Oh, there's plenty of that. Maybe I should say the work we do with the shovel doesn't have dirt in it.
I understand. I understand. We do a lot of that here, too. So, Nancy, how can people get a hold of you, please?
Well, our main number at the barn, people can call, is 651-437-1889. And then our website is thisoldhorse.org, and there's a contact us button on that, which is promptly responded to. And then there's information about our volunteer programs and all of our locations and so on our website.
You tell people about your locations because you have really branched out of necessity.
Yeah. Yeah. We, in our daily census and in all of our farms, we have about 240 horses that we take care of every day. And so we have 11 different locations. Our main one is our Hastings location on Highway 52 and 190th, right Vermilion. And then we have another big barn in Hugo, which is kind of north metro, and then another one in New Richmond, Wisconsin. So those are our three big barns that have a lot of horses in them. And then we have other smaller farms around Hastings, Farmington, Dakota County mostly, and a smaller farm, Prior Lake, where we have smaller crews of volunteers that help out in for growth. So, yeah, we have kind of the people like that, kind of smaller, more intimate one where you might be the only person there feeding, or people like the busy barn where there's a lot going on. And then we have volunteering for, like, our events, which are people that, you know, like to do special events but don't. Maybe they could park cars at the 5K. You know, we'll take anybody's talent and time.
Well, we really appreciate your time today, and I love the story about what your mission 10 years ago originally was. Can you tell people?
Yeah, well, originally what we started is that there was older horses that were aging out of their careers, and they were left vulnerable to, you know, it's like a used car for some people that, you know, they trade it in, and they get a new car, and they don't really care what happened to the old one, as long as it's not their responsibility anymore. And so what we're seeing is these horses that were pretty wonderful, that couldn't work full-time, that still had a lot to offer. But to just set up our horse retirement, there wasn't a way to do that. So the idea being that what we do is we create a community of horse lovers to help care for them and support them. And so the whole idea of This Old Horse is based on that people who love horses come together and support these horses that would otherwise be pretty vulnerable as they get older, or horses that have been neglected. And you know, then we added the rescue component because, you know, once a horse is under our umbrella, it's no longer a rescue horse. It is one of our horses. It's in our family. And so, you know, we bring it back to health, good health, and no one can tell the difference. Sometimes people come to the barn and say, "Where are your rescue horses?" And we go, "Look around. They're all over. They're just the fat ones over there."
Oh, Nancy, well, thanks for all you do, and thanks for your time today to learn more about the behind the scenes of the Kentucky Derby. This year's Kentucky Derby was so, so fun to watch, and if our listeners have not had a chance, Google it, and you can see it online, and I had to watch it again and again because I didn't see Rich Strike win until the very end, and so it was just a thrill.
Yeah, same with me. I was watching Epicenter, and then all of a sudden, who's that? But there's a great drone photo where they follow with an arrow Rich Strike from the gate all the way around on YouTube. If you Google that, the drone view, which is really, really exciting to watch that view of it.
Oh, great. I love that. Nancy, thanks for your time today. Nancy Turner, founder of This Old Horse. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Always fun to talk to you.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.